You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.
All right, we're live. Welcome. This is a special edition of the IT and the D Show, and we are on the floor at historic Cobo Hall in Detroit, Michigan for the Converged and Security B-Sides Conference, and we are having a great time. And we are sitting with Tamara Shoemaker. She's the director for the Center of Cybersecurity and Intelligence Studies at the University of Detroit Mercy, talking about a very, very cool program where we love helping, getting kids and people involved.
It's all about the key
in IT and cybersecurity. No, but we're going to be talking about the National Youth Cyber Education Program. So welcome, Tamara. Thank you for hanging out with us.
Thanks for having me. This is wonderful. It's something that's real dear to my heart, talking about kids in IT and getting them involved in cybersecurity. The minute that they can, pick up the iPhone and swipe that thing across and get on the internet.
I think that's one of the biggest shocks to kids, is that there's consequences to all this digital stuff that's going on in their world. Like, wait, what? People are trying to scam me? Wait, what? People are trying to steal my information?
Right.
How are you getting kids to even acknowledge that it exists?
So through games and competitions. That's the way to get them go to the heart of the things that they love to do with the technology and work from there. And so that's why I picked up this challenge of getting more teams, more people involved in Cyber Patriot, which is a national competition in Michigan and the Midwest, because quite frankly, it was embarrassing how few of us know about it and are taking advantage of this amazing national product that's out there and free to get. So for the younger kids, K through fifth grade, they have already put together free elementary school games, three different games, the different levels from kindergarten all the way to fifth grade, where they can just pick it up and start using it. And they play a game and they don't know, they're learning good cyber health, right? So don't give your password out. Don't tell people that your dad's not home and what your address is.
Right.
And all that stuff. But they're playing a little video game, so they have no clue. They're just winning points.
So it's kind of like learn.code.org, teaching
Absolutely.
Kids basics of coding through
Absolutely.
Like so, simple games.
Absolutely. So we use the things that kids are attracted to and that want to do at the level that they're at.
Do they know they're learning, or do they not care?
I don't think they care, as long as the tool is something that's fun, right?
Right, right, right.
So, but it also is STEM education on a platter. So from all the schools that are getting involved in this and that we're offering to help and mentor and bring them up to speed, they have not just the games that are for free, and then they've got kids that are then learning some IT and learning some cybersecurity, but they've also got some courseware that's involved that's totally free, too.
Okay.
So there's talking notes for the teachers. Hey, teachers, this is what your talking notes are for these games that are going on. And that's also totally free. And if you go to the AFA website for Cyber Patriot, uscyberpatriot.org, you can download those games for free and start using them right away in the classroom. It's all the elementary stuff is all totally free. Then when you graduate from there and you want to start, and kids change, right? Middle school, right? You get a little bit squirrelier, they get a little bit more competitive, their hormones are going. So now they want to start maybe competing against things. So now they've got to compete. The Cyber Patriot has a competition for them. So they will go toe-to-toe nationally against other junior high students, and it's all done virtually. So the minimum is very, very minimum cost to be involved. And for right now, it's totally free because UDM has scored big with the MEDC. These guys saw fit to give us a contract to pay for the registrations for 80 teams.
Oh, my God.
So this year, and if we can do that and build even next year, they'll probably see fit to do it again next year, because it's just so important to get as many kids as aware as we can get them and involved in this game, which then shows them, hey, there's an education track that you can follow and you can get gainfully employed. Look at the huge differences between even IT and cybersecurity. Look at what the salary cast looks like. So it's a no-brainer for us. I want to get as many kids in the process as we possibly can. And so...
So it was easy. So it was very easy to get coding involved, because obviously President Obama put in the hour of code. Right. And it became a national thing.
Absolutely.
How are you promoting this, or how are you getting the word out to these school districts that this needs to be a thing also?
So, like I said, with the help of the MDC, at least we have that function over.
Right.
We can do that. Right now, it's been totally organic up to this point. I did not know that it was going to blow up like it did. I thought that I was going to get sort of my area of coverage. I have five universities across the state that are cybersecurity centers for the DHS and NSA, and all of us have sort of our supply, our area, right, that we cover. And then I've got 11 community colleges that also work in this area that we've also helped to get caught up to the also cybersecurity, and they're teaching that stuff.
But if you look at the companies that are involved, I mean, they cut you off, but if you look at the companies involved.
Absolutely.
From AT&T, Cisco, okay, Symantec, the military, it's the who's who.
Oh, and well, because we all need these folks to be out of the pipeline.
Right,
so
right.
So we've got to get them in and get them started and get them inspired, and then they can go through and get educated and then start and get in there. We had, what is it, 750,000 jobs last year that the federal government had in cybersecurity. They could only place 450. There was 300,000 jobs sitting
on
the
God.
Table that couldn't, and that was just nationally.
Well, that's nationally.
And for the federal government.
We've talked about here in Metro Detroit, that's what was, you know, you were just touching on, like, you know, jobs and all that kind
right.
of stuff. There's a negative unemployment rate
absolutely.
For security professionals here in Metro Detroit.
Right. And then the job, the salaries are 10 to 20% higher in cybersecurity, right?
I would say more than that.
Absolutely. Right. I think that's the problem, is the sky is the limit, because one of my main things is all of my graduates are all going to the Beltway or Silicon Valley, right? Because they're really, really high demand for them. I want to keep some of them here. So I'm thinking the more I get into the pipeline, the more we're developing, the more that we're getting, then we can keep our own infrastructure here in Michigan sound. And not have everybody leave the state, right?
Right, right.
So that's my deal, and it's just so easy to do. I can for $195 as a registration, I get a full season of play. Not one day, not a couple weekends. I get from October until April that these guys are competing. They can also compete. I have some summer camps in the summertime, and many places have summer camps. You have summer camps, too, that they can drop in and figure out what it's all about. What is this cyber thing about? I just want to just play at it for a minute.
Just say it's Minecraft and then do
absolutely.
A bait and switch.
Right.
Like, no, you're learning about cybersecurity.
And everything is done in a fun kind of way. This is all defense. It's not offensive. It's all about making sure. And at the end of the day, if all they come out is being good citizens and good users, that's great for all of us folks that are in security, because now they're not pushing that button when we told them not to. They're not opening that email that we said had a virus in it, because they know.
Now they're not the guy that says it's okay to just hook crap up around their
absolutely.
House and not change the default passwords.
It's IoT
who cares?
Stuff.
Because it's not
absolutely.
A thing.
It's not.
Like
but
some people.
They're learning this, right? You don't practice.
I have 100 IoT devices in the house. I secure none of them.
I'm married to a guy who has authored probably 8 books, and it's just like the house painter that won't paint his own house. Yeah, I've got what is it, Alexa in my home?
Yes.
Oh, the Amazon.
She scares
yeah.
me. She really, really
yes.
Because he talks to her a lot, and he tells her nice things.
She
like,
knows.
Thank you and stuff. So I keep wondering when she's going to come after me.
She knows.
I know it was an X-Files episode, and there was some crappy Emilio Estevez, Maximum Overdrive. Like it's all going to become self-aware at the same time.
Right.
And
right.
like the toaster's going to accidentally fall on you in the shower.
I'm telling you, something like that is, I'm sure she's got that plan. But I, on the other hand, since I've been helping to get these people up to speed, I pay attention to the tutorials, and so I change the passwords, and I know that.
But see, I think a lot of the big thing is not just for the kids, too. I think it's for the parents. It's easy for Dave and I, because we're in IT, and we scare our kids and say that we built the internet, and
absolutely.
We know everything and
right.
see everything, and they don't know. That we don't. But, you know, there's a lot of parents that just go, hey, here's an iPad, and go. And
absolutely. No, absolutely. I mean, and everybody gets more in aware. So schools get more aware, right? So they know maybe you don't have to have everything locked down on the internet, but yes, you do have to pay attention to what's going on, because these kids do have to compete in the real world.
Right.
So it's not all bad. Let's not lock it all down and throw away the key, but But there are ways to be able to do this in a safe manner. And it's fun for these guys. It's competitive, right? So they're going toe-to-toe. They have their team. They practice how often they decide as a team that they want to practice. Some of them are practicing 5 days a week. Some of them, you know, once a week during the season. And then they compete. And they compete once a month. And they decide a 6-hour period. They crack open the game on a laptop or a computer. It only takes 2 to compete. So one is where your game is, and it can't be touched, because that's constantly going back to the AFA and is scoring you, right, and watching you, and making sure you're not reverse engineering anything either to correct
right,
the
right.
game, right? Just in case, you might be thinking of that. And then the other one is to, if you find anything that you can't, you don't know how to do, you know, it's on a Linux system and you're not sure about that, you research it on the other one, you pull up the YouTube video that tells you how to do that.
Of course.
And then they do it and they get their score. They also are getting feedback on that other one, too, of what the whole nation looks like, how people are scoring, where people are in the game. They get to pick between Friday, Saturday, or Sunday on that competition weekend that they're going to devote that 6 hours to. That's when they crack it open. So if it's, you know, a parent that's helping out and it's better for them to do it on Sunday afternoon, that's great. That's when you do it. If it's a coach at the school and they want to do it Friday after school, the minute school stops at 3 o'clock and be done by 9 o'clock, that's great. You know, we bring pizza in and these kids go at it.
So what's at stake for the kids?
So there are three levels of competition. So any level of kid can get involved in the game. So if you know nothing, you know, you're going to end up staying in the silver level. If you know a little bit more, you go up to gold. And then if you are really, really good at this and you've been cracking stuff since you were tiny, there's the platinum level. And it gets harder. The first two rounds is to decide what one you belong in, right? So you can still keep competing. But those folks that make it up to that platinum level are the ones that will go national, right? So the top 12 teams will go head to head at the state. At the nationals in April, and then they'll take away the prize. And then you have all those folks that you mentioned were sponsors will all be there, and they'll be watching. And it's the first time you actually go head to head. So you've got a red team in there that's going to be going against you. So it's not just your operating system. It's not just the built-in weaknesses that they put in. It's stuff that's on the go. So you're going to have to be able to be a little bit more limber and a little bit more hip about this and to be able to do that. And then the national team, you know, wins every year. All of those folks walk away with college scholarships, job opportunities.
Wow.
All of those things are all available to them at that level. But
they're like the LeBron James of cybersecurity,
sure,
right?
Right.
Sure.
Just getting drafted right out of high school.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what it's all about. But for me, it's about getting more people into the system, getting more people aware that it's out there, and getting them into the game. Because it really, we can teach an awful lot. And all educators know that. If you make it fun and interactive, then they're going
to
learn something.
They're more likely to dive
and
in.
And then the other piece is, though, so I've got my students, so my graduate students and all the my community college students and all these other folks that are helping me as mentors. Guess what? When you're showing a high school kid how to do something, you're learning, right? You're breaking it down. So when you go into that corporation and you have to tell, you know, the CEO why it is that they can't do this or they can't do that, you can maybe break it down now because you talked to some high school kids and taught them how to figure it out, right? So you can speak the language to people that maybe don't get it, that aren't involved in it, and make it something that you can do socially. They just learn from helping out. And that's the other thing. So we have money to give to the high schools and junior highs that want to do that. So the registration is, even though it's so cheap, it's free because I can sponsor those teams. We don't just leave you off and let you go as the sponsorship. We also make sure you're a part of our network so that we make sure that you get mentors and advisors that can come help you. So even if you don't have an IT teacher, we can make sure you still have a team, right, with advisors and mentors. That's why I'm here at this conference. I'm looking for folks that are professionals that have a couple hours here and there that can devote to a team and be an advisor. I also look for more sponsorship, too, because while we're paying for the registration and, you know, you want those munchies around once in a while the kids are, you know, sitting there practicing and when they're doing their competition. And maybe schools that don't have the computers that maybe are as bumping as maybe they'd like, you know, sponsorship would help in that kind of thing. But I also just want professionals to be involved, right? So that I think if we do this together as a community, it's going to get done and spread the word. And also getting into the districts, right, and all the different schools. Now, MDEC is going to help me do that more systematically than I've been doing it in an organic fashion, which is anybody says, hey, come to my kid's high school and talk about this, I do, or the board,
right, right.
The Board of Education, I do, and then I don't leave until they've decided they're doing it. It works.
Right, right.
And me paying for it, I took it out of my center budget there for the first 2 years to pay for people because I didn't want that to be a barrier either. Now MDEC has given me money to be able to do that. You know, they saw what we've been able to do. I know we can do this. I know we can rally as well as the East Coast, as well as the West Coast, as well as down in Texas and all those other places where there's, you know, the IT stuff. We have the auto workers. There isn't any more IT savvy folks in the world. We have healthcare. There isn't any more IT savvy people. You know, we've got the talent pool.
Sure.
You know, we just need to tap into it, let them know it's here.
So how do the schools get involved?
So the contact, they contact me so that I cover their registration.
Okay.
Get them involved with mentors. And they can do that through at the university, at my email address at the university, or just my team, my Gmail email is much easier, which is just my name.
Right.
TamaraShu@gmail.com, and let me know that they want, you know, to me come to speak to their class. We already have it arranged. They can download the information. AFA made this so easy for me. It was why I couldn't resist. The folks from LA came over and said, Detroit is our sister city. We're doing this thing and we know you can do it too. And at first I said, I'm busy. And then I said, oh gosh, this is too easy. I have to do this. And it's the right thing. So I'm doing it. The website, you can download everything. You know, I mean, they even have slide presentations if we want to talk to the district. I don't even have to do that. AFA has already put them together for me.
Interesting.
So they have everything there. But
now, is that US, is that uscyberpatriot.org?
That's them. Everything there. And what I suggest if anybody's interested is to go onto the website at Cyber Patriot. Sign up as an advisor, a mentor. Don't pick a team, because I'm going to spread you all across Michigan. I don't want anybody just picking their favorites. I mean, unless it's in your backyard, right?
Sure, sure.
But they're also not all up there yet. But what it'll offer you, what you'll be able to do is you'll actually be able to get to know what the competition is like. And you'll be able to catch up yourself. So you can then download all the tutorials that they have there. You can download every iteration of Microsoft operating system. You can all of Linux operating systems, Cisco tools like crazy. So you can start to find out what is it about this game and educate yourself. You know, and then definitely contact me and become an advisor or a mentor. Or let me know if your school district is interested, because, like I said, I've got money for 80 new teams. I want 80 this year. I want to spend every dime of that and get that many people into the process. I tell kids all the time, parents, they say, well, isn't it a no-brainer that they study computers, they study cybersecurity? And I'm like, no.
No,
I said,
no.
And not to mention, if you're not getting it, so I've got grandkids that have been with this thing in their hand since they were born, right? If you tell them, do you want to study computers? And they go, what? Why would I want to study computers? It's like telling them, do you want to study the toaster or your microwave? That's not exactly sexy, right? And it's something they're thinking about, oh boy, I can't wait, right? Because it's just a tool to them. If you break it down enough, though, and you start to make it fun, and it's a competition, you know, and it's then they start seeing some of the other possibilities, right? They're cracking it open. They're getting to know, oh, it didn't just magically happen. There's an app we downloaded. Somebody wrote that app, and somebody is, you know, forgot to put security on that app, so all of my information is going to that somebody, and I'm getting these weird phone calls on my phone all the time. Oh, I wonder how they got that information.
Yep.
Right? But we break it down. We make them compete, and you're taking what they naturally do and helping them do it.
Awesome. So, yeah, so more information, go, reach out to Tamara at Shu. Tamara Shu.
Yes, TamaraShoe
at Gmail. Or you can go to uscyberpatriot.org.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Thank you.
We love stuff like this, and we will be sure to...
did I tell about the two camps? So we have two camps running.
Oh, the free camps, yeah.
Right, so we have one on the UDM campus, and that one is July 31st through August 4th. It's a whole week long. It's half-day camps. It's free, so we ask the kids to bring a snack lunch, you know, some snacks, so they can go from 9 to 1. The first 4 days is just tutorials, how to do stuff, how to do, you know, crack things open. And then that fifth day, they get to actually play with the actual competition. I've got another one in Battle Creek, because I've got some great folks on the other side of the state that's also helping me with this. And that one runs June 17th through the 21st.
Okay.
And you can go on to Eventbrite and register for these classes. You can register for the camp. You can register your student. You can become a volunteer. And you can sponsor all on the website.
And those are called Cyber Patriot Summer Camps.
Correct.
Okay. Cyber Patriot, one word.
Yes.
Got it. Just so they can find it on Eventbrite.
Yep. Nope, that's exactly how they can do it.
Tamara, appreciate the time. This is something, we're a warm place for our heart, too, is trying to get kids involved in IT.
Wonderful.
The more people, the better. And I want to get my kids involved. So
please do.
I appreciate waving the flag. And, you know, you're more than welcome on our show anytime when you have any updates.
Lovely. That would be great. I'd love to, you know, loop you back in after I do my summer camps.
Great. Awesome. Thank you, Tamara Shoemaker.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.
Welcome back. Thank you for continuing to listen to us. This is a special edition of the IT in the D Show, hanging out with Dave the Geek, this Bob the Sales Guy. We are in historic Cobo Hall, beautiful Detroit, Michigan.
And for the record, there's actually not a soundboard, so I can't be Captain Soundboard today.
Captain Handheld Recorder, Captain Zoom.
I don't want to be Captain Handheld. We were just talking about Captain Handheld.
We are... We're hanging out here in the middle of the show floor and lucky enough to bump into Christian Kopassi. He is currently the manager of incident response at Consumer Energy, the former CISO for the state of Michigan. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was.
How are you doing?
Very good. How about you guys?
Good, good. How's the show treating you?
It's great. This is one of the best community events we've had. Every year, Converge and B-Sides gets bigger and bigger, so it's all we can hope for.
I always tell people, what's the difference between this show and like a Secure World? Nothing against them. I go, this is the show the guys that have pseudo Nims come to hang out.
Exactly. This is like, where the real people go. Sorry.
No offense taken. It's Motor
City versus PenguinCon.
Motor City versus PenguinCon. Totally. Manager of incident response at consumers, what are you looking at from a holistic viewpoint? Are you looking for outsider threats, insider threats? Are you looking at a complete complete view of your IT infrastructure? What are you doing?
Yeah, totally. It's 100% the entire company. So we are the incident response team for the corporate environment as well as the ICS SCADA environment, which actually keeps the lights running. So
sure.
Obviously, that's when people think about energy, that's where they focus on. They want the lights on. But we also have to worry about the corporate assets as well. So if we're going to be, technology, when we're building plants, building solar, wind, people want that type of information. But again, we're just another company, so people want to break into us because we've got social security numbers, we've got healthcare information.
And not just that, your intellectual property.
Exactly.
Sure, sure.
Well, and not only that, but one of the things we hear over and over again is how, and maybe it's, some of it's FUD, some of it's hysteria, but we hear how vulnerable our overall national infrastructure is.
Yeah.
And so you go ahead and slap a big old bullseye on you guys.
It's true. And it's kind of hard to watch sometimes when people are definitely spreading the FUD where, kids are going to shut down the power for 6 months. It's like, unless they really, had a nuclear bomb or something, that's really what's going to shut it down. Definitely a cyber issue would cause a, throw a monkey wrench in it. But for sustainability, for terrorism, they would have to do something physical.
Don't forget about the EMP coming from North Korea anytime.
True, exactly, and they're zombies riding dinosaurs. We're waiting for it all.
Right, right.
Well, wasn't it? Where were we talking about? It's obviously a better situation. I want to say it was Kenya. We had that story like 4 months ago where a monkey took out the entire national power grid because it threw a rock. Exact spot on the transformer that blew, and that caused a surge, which caused a blowout, took out an entire country's power grid. Monkey with a rock.
But they're still using coconuts for telephones, so
it's like the droids on Hoth. Right. Get it right in that spot and they blow up.
There was an exhaust port he hit.
when we talk security, it's kind of like there's three levels, right? One is compliance and governance, and obviously you guys have to tackle that. Mm-hmm. And the other one is like, hey, I just got breached.
Yeah.
And the third one is kind of like level of paranoia. So, obviously with this giant bullseye on your back, how far do you got to go to ensure that, I guess, everything's good?
I think one of the good things we have is from corporate government and executive management. Their security is on their mind, so my boss is constantly updating them. They're asking right questions, not just waiting for him. When he says, yeah, we're secure, they're like, well, how do you know that? So it's very good to have. We actually have a couple of CISOs on the board of directors.
Okay.
So, everyone knows about security. They want to make sure we're doing it, and we're able to prove them that, hey, this is based off what we're seeing, and this is how we do security, we're doing well.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't mean this, don't take this question the wrong way, but all we talk about is there's a shortage of talent in this space. How do you find and or grow people that, are going to make you secure, compliant, all those things that we just talked about?
This is actually Converge, and B-Sides is one of the great places. It's actually why we have a couple of the vendors here. They're here strictly to get those people that have that desire. We constantly use interns. We normally hire 50 interns a year.
Okay.
And we have other various programs where they can enroll, and they go to different areas within IT and information security to kind of be able to feel their way out. Because, people in college, they don't really necessarily know what they want to do.
Right. Right.
They may hear about security, oh, that's sexy right now, I want to do it. We're able to show them, hey, here's what you're going to be doing. you know, I also run the red team.
Swordfish, the Matrix, and Hacker.
It's just like that.
And I want a 9-panel TV, and I want... Yeah.
Actually, the 9-panel TVs we do have, so that was the truth.
All right, you tell me you have a Holly Berry laying around Sunday, and I'm hired.
You got me. Sorry.
Not the same.
No, but it's looking at the floor here, you have not just the vendors, right, which you think would be all of it.
Right.
You have Walsh here. You have UDM here.
And we actually had, a dozen or so high school students.
Okay.
So that's even better. I mean, getting them in early as possible, letting them know, and getting more of the STEM curriculum is just the best thing that can be for
the
state of Michigan.
We just talked to the Cyber Patriot program, which is targeting middle school.
Yeah.
We just had Merritt on our show last Monday talking about the Cyber Range targeting high schools.
Yep, and I'm actually part of the Michigan Cyber Civilian Corps that we use Merritt for the Cyber Range. So
awesome. We've had them on our show too.
Okay, perfect.
But they were saying, and it's kind of a cool story, that the person that won the capture of the flag at the Michigan Cyber Range was a freshman from Cadillac.
Yeah.
I'm like, how did that? Like, I don't want to say how did that happen, right? Because
how did that happen?
Well, I think the great thing about information security is, I mean, it's something you can learn on your own. I mean, everyone can, you know, download VMware, run Kali, I mean, just read some books. I mean, that's the best thing. It's the way we like to have people learn, because we've had a lot of times, you know, people have degrees, they have certifications, and you get them in a room and like, okay, show me how to do this, and they're like, I've read about it,
that's not key. How the book says.
Exactly.
Well, the issue and the problem with kids is, it's almost like I'm not buying security, a firewall, until I've been breached.
Right.
Most kids haven't had their stuff gone.
Yeah.
Most kids haven't been hacked or lost all their photos.
Right.
Or, you know, had their computer
blow up. But they're much more
technical
savvy. I mean, I've gone into high schools now, you know, in the third grade, and the kids are, you know, on computers, and it's just, it's amazing. I mean, I didn't have computers till like 12th grade, and it was like an Apple IIe, and I'm like,
Hey, I grew up on my Commodore 64.
We all died of dysentery.
Yeah. All of us. I wanted to. We were talking about the old games we used to play on the Commodore.
Uh-huh.
I'd kill for Beachhead as it was.
Oh God! I'm sure there's an emulator somewhere.
I'm sure there is too.
And it's always great. I have my nephews over, and you know they're playing Call of Duty, and I'll put like you know an NES emulator, and they're like, "This sucks." I'm like, "You guys have no idea." I'm like, "You've never had to blown into a cartridge to make it work."
Right,
man. So I had my nephew over, and it was right when Guitar Hero Rocks the 80s came out. And you know, and he's sitting there just complaining about how they're lazy. They didn't change any of the graphics. The graphics suck. And I took the game out, put in Intellivision's greatest hits, and said, "Let's play some hockey, Skippy." He's like, "What's this?" I'm like, "This is what I grew up
with."
Shut up about your graphics, you damn kid.
I would play NHL 96 over the 16 any day of the week.
Right.
Any day of the week. Way better of a game. But I mean, kind of going back to that, if you want to, don't mind touching on that, Christian, is how do you get kids passionate about security when everything's kind of good as it is? You know what? Do you follow where I'm going with that?
Well, I think that's just kind of the barrier you have to break. And I think one thing they have going is, you know, security really touches everything now. You know, you've got medical devices, you've got now the cars, you've got televisions. I mean, everything is a computer, they're all using it. And it's just, things are happening. I mean, ransomware is getting a lot more higher.
Right.
Malware. I mean, we're still battling with phishing. So the attacks we've had 10 years ago are still the attacks that are working. So obviously we're not doing as good as we should be doing.
Well, not just that. You have, you know, all the IoT devices that we don't lock down.
Yeah.
Because we don't think anything of it.
Which you mean we, Paleface?
Yeah, no, I'm looking at myself.
Yeah, I think my refrigerator just opened my garage door a couple minutes ago.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
And some of the things, you know, it's like, it's great, it's convenient, but, you know, you still have to add that security in there. And some things is like, you know, why in the hell does, you know, my coffee machine need to be online? I mean, it's just...
We talk about that on the show all the time. It's like, you know what really... Did I really need that Nest? Could I not get up and turn that dial?
Exactly.
Or do I have to do it from the couch?
You have kids. We were the remote control.
Exactly. They don't know that. Yeah.
Hey, go change the channel. Hey, go turn the thermostat down. Yeah. Hey, it worked.
Now it's gotten bad enough where my remote control for my Samsung's on my phone. I can't use the remote next to me on the couch. I have to use it. It's like, has it gotten that bad? Like,
yes.
I can't lean for the remote.
When my mother-in-law stays over, there's either 8 remotes or I'm like, I can put it on your smartphone. And she's like, yeah. She's like,
right.
No. Because I know I'll just have to fix her phone later, so.
Sure. So, I mean, you know, I hate the cliche, like, the what keeps you up. But, like, from a consumer standpoint, I mean, do you sleep? I mean, is that even an option? I couldn't imagine.
Oh yeah, I take NyQuil, so I'm good.
Good.
No, but I mean, I think the things that everyone's worried about, I mean, the things that we're facing are still, you know, some of the basic things. You know, we're still a target. You know, people are still clicking on ransomware ads. So yeah, that definitely keeps me up. But I think what we've done is we've kind of gotten back to the basics. I think that's one of the things that people as security pros do. I mean, they kind of have the squirrel mentality where they're always on the look for the next thing. And it's like, that's great. But, you know, if you're still getting hit by malware and phishing, you know, fix that shit.
Right, right.
And then you can worry about the next cool thing, you know, an APT and attribution and, you know, analytics.
Totally.
It's just don't worry about it.
Now, has there been a shift from external threats to internal, or is that kind of, they're still the same?
Yeah, we've definitely had a focus because, you know, it's obviously when Snowden came out, everyone's like, oh, you know, we never really thought about that.
Right.
And it's like, well, we should have.
Right.
So, yeah, we've definitely put some.
Well, and you know, and it might have even been you, there was somebody in a room somewhere going, I thought of it.
Exactly.
And you bastards never listen to me.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
But, you know, people, the smallest, someone, you know, printing out things before we leave, you know. So we've taken steps in place to put a lot more controls, a lot more reviews. But, again, technology isn't a silver bullet. You know, I'll take people and process any day of the week over some vendor product that's not going to work.
Right. You look at, you know, even, you know, hey, what do they call tailgating? Like, that's a huge problem.
Yeah.
People dumping stuff on not just thumb drives, but dumping it now to their Google drives.
Exactly. So, I mean, obviously, security awareness is a big thing.
I just want to work on that spreadsheet with all the customer information for the past 20 years at home, Bob.
From anywhere I've ever had, yeah. So I'll just email it to myself, yeah. So a lot of it's just, you know, awareness. People, I mean, they want to do the right thing. Sometimes they're just doing the wrong thing because they weren't told, so.
Sure.
Got to make sure you have a good awareness program, yeah.
Cool. Well, hey, we appreciate you coming down, stopping by.
No problem.
That's
Thank you very much.
Great insight on kind of a... You know, how to secure one of those companies that, like there's probably, a handful that have those bullseyes in Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, you being one of them.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
That's a fun talk. Appreciate it. Christian Kopassi, we're going to take a quick break. This is the IT and the D Show at Converge in Cobo Hall.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.
Welcome back, and thank you for hanging out with us. This is a special edition of the IT in the D Show, and we are hanging out in historic Cobo Hall in beautiful Detroit, Michigan. This is
Bob. Is that why you're doing the wrestling call voice?
I'm not doing the wrestling call voice. I did that at the Gem Theater for a wedding, and it was awesome. This is Bob, the sales guy, hanging out with Dave the Geek. Find us online, itinthed.com. And we are lucky enough to be hanging out. Joel Cardella. He's a senior security consultant from Rapid7. Thank you for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
So before we get any farther, what's Rapid7? Then we want to we'll get into what you're doing every day.
Sure. Rapid7 is a products and services company. We sell a product called Nexpose, which is a vulnerability management scanner. We're probably best known in the community for owning Metasploit, everybody has heard of.
Yeah.
Right. The community edition, and there's a pro edition, so enterprises can do that. We also do, we have a product called Insight. It's a platform that does things like user behavior analytics, very similar to a SIM. SIM Plus is what I call it, right? Salesmen will kill me because I'm not actually explaining it right, but that's not my world. Actually, what I do for Rapid7 is I'm in services. So we have a professional services arm. And in services, we do things like deployment and training for products. We do incident response. We do advisory services, which is the team I'm on. So we'll do things like cybersecurity maturity assessments, threat modeling, network architecture reviews, things like that.
Now, with doing assessments with so many tools on the market, you know, and we always joke, it's kind of like securing a network securing an environment's like a house.
Yeah.
You know, you can buy another pit bull. You can put another gun under the coffee table. You know, you can put
another bolt on the door.
When are you good? Is that even a word?
So it's a good question. You know, I used to have a boss who would ask me the question, are we secure? And it was really hard for me to answer because I go, well, it really all depends on your risk appetite and how much risk you're willing to take on. So that the kind of questions that we deal with when we talk to clients about those very things is that, is we'll say, you know, what kind of business are you doing, first of all? So I might have a client who's a startup. In fact, I do. I have a client right now who's a healthcare startup. They don't have anything. So we're literally greenfielding, building everything from scratch with them. We might have a client who's mid-sized business. They've been doing things for a while. They want to do things better. right? The answer for them is different, because the answer for them is, what are you doing in your business? How much risk is the business willing to accept, and what can we do within the confines of that risk appetite? And then we might have a client who's a really large client, right? Fortune 500 client. And they're doing things at a very high level, but still at a very high level. They know they have some gaps. Because, you know, when you've been doing things for a while, you kind of tend to get into a mode, your field of vision gets a little clouded. You get that third eye that comes in and says, oh, you know, here's this thing. And so really, I think that's the biggest contribution that I would make when I get on site is I'm really that dispassionate third pair of eyes. I show up. I don't have any of the baggage that they have, right? None of the organizational issues. I can call a spade, right? This is the way things are, and things are not working this way. And if you want to get those things right, these are the things that we want to do. Difficult to answer, I think.
Right.
I think it comes down to business context, right?
I think what it's kind of evolved this whole space where now it's not even what you know, it's what you don't know. And you know, every day we wake up in the morning, we're talking about weird things like, you know, flight risks.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe a nurse is looking at patient records of the soccer moms.
Yep.
Or just stuff that normally wouldn't be.
Yeah, that pissed her off in the PTO meeting last week. Yeah.
And then you find, you know, but then, you know, stiff the or emailing or opening up a Google Drive or putting stuff on a thumb drive. There's just so many things now that if I was a CISO, I wouldn't sleep. I couldn't. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
I don't know how some CISOs sleep.
Right,
either.
But I mean, how's things evolve? Is that where things are going? Where, like, now it's, you know, the internal threat's almost as worse as the, like, Russian hacking. That's not
right.
Is what it used to be, or, you know.
So it's interesting.
Hey, not according to CNN.
Yeah, whatever.
So it's interesting. Clients will engage us, and we have these same kinds of conversations with the clients. They'll say things like, I'll go into a company that doesn't do asset management at all, and the first thing they'll ask me is, how do we deal with zero day? And I'll say, zero day is not your problem. Your problem is even knowing what you have secure it.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't have that visibility, and that's what it comes down to, visibility, detection is huge. It's key. You know, in the old days, security was all about prevention. Like you were saying, put another bolt on the door.
Yeah.
Right? Now it's less about putting a bolt on the door because we don't know where the door is. We have the cloud. We have all these other kind of perimeter-less networks where we can't really draw a good line around what these things are. So detection and awareness become the key thing that you want to leverage in your organization so you can answer those kinds of questions. Because quite honestly, if you're not aware of it, you can't do anything about it. So the thing that we try to do is we try to build you to a point where you have detection well in hand, and then we can look at those spaces that you're talking about, the negative spaces. What aren't we aware of? So once we have really good control and really good awareness and understanding of what we do have, what we can control, we can start looking at those other spaces. But in my opinion, a lot of people try to step over that. They put the cart before the horse, right? They're not looking at the right things at the right time. I don't like to exactly describe things as a serial pattern for security, but sometimes it is. Sometimes you have to build that foundation, to go back to your house analogy. You have to build that foundation before we're going to do anything with remodeling the house, right? Before
Lock
we're going to put
first.
A roof on.
Right.
Yeah, right. We got to have something that we build the base off of, and that really is detection. What do you have? What's in your space? And then, you know, what's the state of that thing?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, you can't worry about assessment and remediation until you have it detected.
That's exactly right. Right. And a lot of people don't realize that. So they'll buy tools or they'll buy products and say, oh, okay, we're good. You know, there is no big red button for security
right. That
says, you know, boom, we're secure.
Well, there used to be. I mean, at first I think it was, what, server sprawl, then it became VM sprawl,
mm-hmm.
then it became, I mean, now you look at, I don't want to say security sprawl, like cloud sprawl, security sprawl. That's got to be two of the, it's just gotten, there's so many.
Well, there's
how many
so
tools
many,
are you going to put in your toolbox at this point?
Right.
It's gotten ridiculous.
It is. No, I agree. And that's some of the things that we try to talk about, too, when we're talking to clients is we're like, look, you know, if you've got this array of tools, and it isn't just IT, or not just security, it's also IT, right? So you've got the entire IT space that's just riddled with tools. What does that get you? At the end of the day, if I ask you questions like, you know, how many endpoints do you have? And what's on those endpoints? And you can't answer that? That is your first problem. You have to fix that. That's the first thing you have to do. From there, we build on to,
And I'm going to tell your boss that you're probably going to be fired.
Well, that's not true because the boss doesn't know either, right?
Right.
But it's part of the problem of what you said. It's where, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And I hope that what we can bring to the field for anybody that we talk to, not just clients, but anywhere in the space, in the community, is that exact awareness, right? We're trying to shine a light in the darkness and go, these are the things that we really need to be concerned about. It's not Russian hacking. It's not zero days. Don't put your efforts there because that's going to yield you the least amount of return
right.
on any of your investments. What's going to yield your return is being aware of what you have and being able to secure that.
Well, I mean, it's that possibility versus probability discussion
yes,
that
absolutely.
I love having. It's, you know, is it possible that Russian hackers are going to target your little mom and pop store? Sure, right. It's possible. Is it probable? No.
Well, one of the stories that hit the news that we were aware of, I'm not going to say who the company was or any of that, but basically what the guy was doing was grabbing IP, taking it over to China, getting them to make it,
uh-huh.
and then he was going to spin up his own company based on this medical device yep. that this company created.
Right.
And they, you know, almost, luckily they found it. Guy got arrested. But, I mean, to me as a company, those are the things I'd be more worried about than Timmy getting malware.
Yeah.
Right?
And let me talk about that, because that's a really good point. One of the things that we always ask clients for that we never see them do is create a data map. So exactly what you're talking about is all that IP sits in data somewhere. And just like asset management, data management is one of these things that you have to pay attention to. Where is the data in your network? How does it flow from device to device? What is the transmission mechanism that it uses? Where are all of the gaps where that data could possibly leak, right? These are really important things. So just like you would sit down and draw a network diagram, I want to see you draw a data diagram, and I want to see all those kinds of things. So if that data is potentially leaking out of the organization, if you can detect it, that's great. But even if you can't detect it, you can at least point it out in a visual way and say, we have a problem here that we need to close. How do we do this, right? Access controls, perimeter controls,
drive.
Whatever.
Man. Yeah, why not?
You can do that too. You can do that. You and CryptoLocker.
Yep. Right, right. So, I guess anything else you want to part with? We're gonna, you know.
No, I think that the big thing for me is just being aware of your risks, right? I'm a risk management guy.
Sure.
That's my background, and. In good risk management, awareness is the key principle for you. You have to be aware and understand. So if you're spending your time, like 100% of your time in prevention, pull back. Don't spend your time in prevention. Start to divide your time out and start to move into detection. And then after that is going to be response, right? Prevention, detection, response are the keys to security today. So if all of your time is spent fighting fires or trying to bolt the door, let's pull back and say, let's take a look around, take a breath. What do we have? Take stock, move forward from there. You might find that you're actually on better footing because you've moved that line.
Sure, sure. Well, hey, appreciate Joel. Appreciate hanging out with us.
Thank you guys.
Do we want us to find you online, or we're going to keep it?
You can. My Twitter is at Joel Converses. I'm on LinkedIn. You can hit me there. You'll see me on the Rapid 7 community site. We do a lot of blogging there.
Awesome.
So, yeah, just look around. I'm here. I'm here at this place, and I go to other conventions. So
cool.
Nice, nice.
Hit me up. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate spending time with us. We're going to take a quick break. This is a special edition of the IT and the D Show from Converge Security B-Sides in Cobo Hall, and we'll be right back.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.
Welcome back. Thank you for hanging out with us. This is a special edition of the IT and the D Show, and we are hanging out Cobo Hall, beautiful Detroit, downtown Detroit, Michigan. It's Bob the Sales Guy here with Dave the Geek. Find us online, itandthed.com. And we're just getting barraged. We're getting like all-star after all-star after all-star guests.
I'm okay with that.
At Converge Security B-Sides. And we're joined right now by Chris Burrows. He's the CISO for Oakland County, my backyard, my hometown, or my home county. Thank you for hanging out with us, Chris.
Hey, thanks to be here, guys.
Good, good. So we were talking a little bit before the show, and you know, we'll kind of dive into what does a CISO of a county do? But you're kind of launching a pretty cool service, and we had Phil Bertolini on in our early days of our show, where you guys were working with smaller municipalities on cloud infrastructure. But it looks like you guys are doing the same thing now for smaller municipalities in terms of security.
Yeah, so we're starting this new service and building this concept called CISO as a Service.
Okay.
So it's funded by the state of Michigan. It's just rolling out, so we're in infancy form. We're having our kickoff meeting next Wednesday with the five counties that are basically going to participate in this program. What we're going to do is basically what I did for Oakland County 4 years ago. I came as a consultant. I did a risk assessment, provided recommendations on the quick wins that we could do to mitigate some gaps into the security model, and then came up with a plan over the next 18 months on how to fix the issues that were at Oakland County. So we're taking that same premise, and then we're going to offer this service to these five participating counties, cities, or villages, townships that want to be involved, and then as part of this program also build a business case for future entities that can't afford a full-time CISO, but definitely need the help of a CISO on their organization.
Sure. It's always good when you have a geek as a governor, right, that likes to back these kind of programs.
He's done some pretty cool things, you know.
No question. Can anyone, do you have to nitpick who is in it?
So we took volunteers.
Okay.
There was a meeting that was discussed last fall, and the concept came up. We went through 2 months of setups, what were we expecting out of this program. Then we did the interviews. We found a candidate a couple weeks ago, background checked them, went through the whole process, had our three initial meetings to kick off what our expectations are. Now we're bringing the five counties together next week in Lansing, and we're basically going to say, these are the rules and regulations, this is how we're going to abide by, this is the expectations, the timelines, this is your commitment, this is our right. commitment, and we're going to go from there. Basically, I'm expecting to have all five sites evaluated in the first 30 to 40 days, then come up with a plan of action. The majority of the time is going to be spent getting the approval from the executives right. at each organization, and then take care of the, in my opinion, what I did at Oakland was take care of the quick wins, remove admin rights, get a policy in place, right. you know, do the things that don't cost you a lot of money, right. you just need a couple of heads to do it,
yep.
get those kind of things in place, and then go for the long-range things that are the 90 days, 180 days to get the procurements in place to buy this tool or implement this process, because some things need to go and get approval from the county executive.
Sure.
That all takes time. It has to go through corporate counsel and, you know, the gist of things.
So what's, I mean, we had Consumers Energy on earlier, you know, and we've talked to a couple other corporations and, you know, kind of talked about, hey, what are we doing to, you know, what are we protecting? Now, being part of a government / municipality, you know, are you doing the same things they're doing in terms of securing, or is it a completely different ballgame? Or I guess fill us in on what's that life like.
So let me tell you, it's I came from a manufacturing company before I went to Oakland.
Okay.
So we baked dirt. We made cement.
Right.
So that's all we did. So I had to secure this component. Dirt ingredients doesn't change, right? You bake this, you produce this product. Well, at the county, there's 82 departments.
Okay.
So, and we Yike. Hold data for 1.2 million residents of Oakland County.
Sure.
So these 82 departments all function in their own way, and they've been basically doing their processes per department. So I'm trying to bring this holistic view of security to all 82 departments.
And I'm sure everybody's on board, and
right.
it's all going smoothly.
And it's thankfully, shockingly, we've got great support from Brooks. So he's been a great advocate.
Sure.
Bill Berlini, my boss, has been done a good thing
sure.
as far as gathering the troops and telling them why this is so important. So I've had conversations with the sheriff, with the prosecutor, with the medical examiner, and telling them why we need to do these certain things. So it's been a challenge because it's basically 82 different group companies
right.
that you have to convince on why you need a screensaver, why you have to get rid of your admin rights, why we have to patch every month, why we have to do all these things that may or may not have been done in all these departments. The good
right.
thing about the county is we're all centralized IT. So everyone gets a computer from our department. They all get their software through us, so it's going to be managed from a budgetary standpoint.
Yeah, so at least you know where everything is and what's actually
yeah.
out there.
So, and it's been deemed as the number one priority for the county. So as a CISO, I couldn't be in a better position because when I say this is the thing that needs to be done, Phil supports it, Brooke supports it, then we gather the troops from all the other, you know, areas, and we make it happen.
So, I mean, what's most at risk? Is it intellectual property? Is it
it's your
personal
identities.
Identity?
Okay,
so okay.
we also...
Mine?
Yours.
You better
like,
do
you
a good job.
Oh,
I live, now you care.
Right, right. I live in Oakland County, too, so
right.
it's a serving job. I serve myself.
Sure.
protecting my own data,
right?
So, but we do have, I don't want to say we're a gold mine of data, but
sure.
we have a lot of data. And we also have PCI data because we process credit cards.
Of course.
Right? So we're a big shop for that. And then we have HIPAA, obviously, so
okay.
we have medical staff.
Yep.
On board, we have nurses and, you know, all that kind of. Children's
right, right.
Village, we've got Children's Village, which is, you know, very sensitive data.
Sure.
So
sure.
we have to protect all that.
So, okay. So, yeah, that's what I was kind of curious is if you had to oversee me, so obviously, yes, you do.
And we also support the law enforcement. We've got this branch called Clemis, which I think 62 police departments use our services.
Okay.
So we provide mugshot systems, fingerprint systems, 911, all this stuff has to be protected. So when you think of local government, you don't think of
no.
all this.
No.
I didn't, when I first got there,
right.
I learned it on the job to say, these are all the things
like,
that.
What did I get myself into?
Like, there's a lot to do here.
Right.
But it's not just a law, local government with a clerk and a sheriff and a prosecutor. It's much bigger than that.
So, I mean, this has been the common question in all three interviews we've had so far is, do you sleep after hearing that? I mean, it's a... And I don't mean... I'm not joking. Like, that's a lot.
Seriously, I think about security every day, all day. But the nice thing is we built the foundation. So where we were 4 years ago, we're in a totally different spot today.
Right.
We put in the basics, and then we take them to the next step. And we have a managed framework, so we use measures and goals and targets, and we watch it. So we know where our risks are.
Sure.
We manage those risks, and then we have projects on the horizon to get those things taken care of.
Okay.
And the deal was, I say, at every presentation, I'm the CISO, but security is everyone's responsibility.
Absolutely.
All 4,000 employees of the county, you have some stake in it. We've ran some really good security awareness programs. We ran our own phishing program, which was awesome.
Lake Orion? Bad joke. All right, you can kick me off now. Sorry, I'm getting looks from others. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, but I think as a whole, security is put on a pedestal to get things done in the county, and we've taken the right actions to at least protect us reasonably, considering all the other counties and local governments around. So.
Well, but I mean, that just goes back to where we started, which was that's why you're rolling out that service to the smaller counties that don't necessarily have that capability, that infrastructure.
Yeah, we've measured it. So April of 2013, we can't see it on the radio, but you were here, a small area of security. Since then, we've grown 10 times in the 5 different regions. So you can see measure per measure per measure per year per year per year. We measured every quarter. And you can see exactly where we're strong in and exactly where we're weak in. And we put those projects in place, and we're getting the funding from the right people to get the job done. So it's been a fun program to build, because not many people can build a security program from scratch.
Right.
So I came in as the first person, and I did the consultant role
right.
and said, these are our problems, let's go fix it. I was hired to fix it, and then I was hired as a permanent employee to go run it. And I've been there since, and now we're helping other communities do it. We were just helping another community that was breached 2 weeks ago. I'm not sure if it's made the news yet, so I really can't talk about
it. Right, that's fine.
But we sent one of our staff up there. He was there for 20 hours helping them mitigate the issue.
Wow.
So we tend to stick together. We've helped other counties here over the last year, advise them.
Right.
And
so we know it was somewhere up there.
Right.
You guys are super perceptive.
So can somebody call you tomorrow and say, I want in? Or is it locked down right now for other municipalities?
Well, so something you got the 5
so
that you're working
with
right
now.
I'm
expecting to have great results, and we can talk about the results hopefully at the Governor's Summit in October. That's the plan. And I'm expecting that our opportunities will open up so we can get some more, but that's up to the state. I mean, the state is running the whole program.
Yeah.
I'm on as an advisor to get this thing going and make it effective, right? So
I'm
totally anticipating results, positive change at these 5 organizations in the first 60 days.
It's a very proud father moment. I'm not going to let you like, starting
cool.
from
I mean,
nothing. Yeah.
To build something again from scratch.
Yeah.
And that's going to help all these smaller communities, because there's one of ours is a one-man IT shop, and that's it. That's all they've got. So the assessment should be easy. Ask the one guy what he has
Bob,
and what he doesn't
Bob,
have.
Bob, what's on your laptop?
No!
The harder ones are asking the ones that have 30, 40, 50 IT people, because everyone has their own, you know, bag of secrets.
And there's no ubiquitous plan in place to, no standards, no operating,
And the nice thing is they've all opted in. So we know we have the support. Typically, when you go and audit somebody, everyone's pretty private about their controls.
Yeah.
Now they've said, come help us. So that's what we're going to go do.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's great.
Chris, anything else before we just get back to the show?
I think we're good. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool story. I love great content.
Well, you'll hear more about it.
Did you really just cool story, bro?
I did cool story, bro. I didn't say cool. Did I say cool story? See, I'm thinking we're Monday nights. No, I'm just kidding.
Maybe we'll come back on in 6 months and tell you how good it was.
Yeah, good.
Actually,
good.
That would be cool. We'd love it.
We got a follow-up. I'd love to do it.
So, yeah, hey, Chris Burrows, this is CISO of Oakland County. Appreciate the time you hanging out with us.
Cool, thanks.
And now we're going to take a quick break. This is the IT and the D Show from Conversion Kobo.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.
Welcome back. Thank you for hanging out with us. This is a special edition of the IT and the D Show. Hanging out
today on a very special IT and the D.
It is. It's an after-school special. We're here in Kobo Hall in beautiful Detroit, Michigan. It's Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek. Jeremiah from Daily Detroit, Dr. Hook is taking photos. Find us online, itinthed.com. And we are joined by the one and only, I'm going to totally butcher your last name, but that's all right, Tom Linnemuth.
Very good.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah,
nice.
Excellent.
He's the Director of Security Engineering for Jackson National.
Only been there 20 years.
Just
20.
What did you, I was going to say, what was the first job? On the Apple IIe?
A security guy who's been at the same company for 20 years, that's a thing.
Well, you know, I started as just a network engineer.
Okay. Got it.
You know, but I've been in technology a while. I still remember Apple III, all-in-one.
See, I was a Commodore 64 guy. He was a Wang guy.
First computer, Commodore 64.
I heard that, I just watched Pawn Stars in Vegas. A guy sold one, not even with a 1541 hard drive, or the disk drive, for $250.
$250?
Yes.
That's what it cost way back when, right?
Seriously.
I would almost kill to have my VIC-20 back.
Oh. Never had a VIC.
Play a lemonade stand with a cassette deck.
1541 and the 3.5 drive, 1581.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. I'm still in my parents' basement.
Oi, the way Glenn Miller played.
Those are the days. So, you guys have this is usually Vendor Central, and there's a bunch of universities. Jackson National, I mean, you're a company. Why do you guys, what are you guys doing featured out here?
Yeah, so what I say is Jackson is the biggest company in Michigan that nobody's ever heard of. We're kind of squirreled away in Lansing, kind of off 96.
What do you guys do? Let's start there.
Yeah, so our primary claim to fame is selling annuities. So we're the largest annuity seller in the United States. Do about $35 billion a year in sales. So kind of big scale there, but we've never really advertised a lot. Our model is going through advisors, so you don't see a Jackson blimp anywhere.
Right.
But if you talk to a financial guy, everybody knows about us.
Okay.
Yeah, got it.
Everybody knows. So we've gone from, 2,500 people 10, 15 years ago to about 5,500 now.
Okay.
Wow.
And,
that's a little bit of growth.
A little bit. When I started, this is what I say, when I started with Jackson 20 years ago, we were $1 billion a year in sales. And now we do about $3 billion a month.
Wow. Jeez. Ride that train.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's been a tremendous amount of growth.
We're in the wrong industry, Bob.
I know, right? So, I mean, obviously then, what was the IT department like then? What's it look like now?
Him.
It was him.
Yeah. So it was, when we started, we kind of outsourced a lot of stuff to EDS.
Okay.
So one of the first things when I first got there, they were building the IT shop. So I was kind of fortunate I got in kind of on the ground floor as a network engineer, was able to help them build it out. Now we've got two major data centers in Lansing area.
Okay.
We have two mainframes, one in each data center, thousands of Unix boxes, thousands of virtualized Windows servers. So it's a big shop now.
I was going to say, that's when you say thousands when you're talking boxes, that's... So I mean,
how many calls do you get a day from cloud sales guys?
believe it or not, we're not looking to move a lot to the cloud at this point.
And I don't blame you.
There's not a lot of the cloud vendors that run mainframe apps.
This is true.
True.
So get back to are you just out here looking to like raise awareness about the company? Or are you looking for
something
specific?
Yeah. So, well, personally, I came over to security 2 years ago, and we had 12 in the department. I had 3 or 4 engineers, and promptly 2 of those guys quit, went to other opportunities. Had another one that retired, and so I had to, backfill that, and now I'm up to 8 engineers. All right, so I've been hiring almost nonstop, so I'm pretty good now. But the rest of our group, we've gone from 12 to 50 in information security, so tremendous amount
50,
of
wow.
additions to staff there. But Jackson as a whole in the IT group has anywhere at any given time from 50 to 100 open positions. We just can't find people quick enough to fill the roles. Not to mention, I mentioned that people don't know about Jackson. Typically, y'all didn't know about Jackson.
Nope.
I'm guessing, right?
And then couple that you're in Lansing.
And you beat me to it.
Sorry.
So it's not a big draw for a lot of people. If you find the right people, they actually love it though. So, we're just trying to get people the name out there, let people know Jackson's here, and it's a really great place to work.
What type of talent are you looking for? Reason why I ask, we're churning out, we're retraining people out in Flint. Lansing isn't far, but we're getting them basic certs, A+, NET+, Security+. I mean, for level 1 desk jobs, right?
Yeah.
Are you looking that far down, or I guess what's the range of talent you're looking for?
Yeah, so we have everything from entry level help desk all the way up to director. I just saw today of Unix administration.
Okay.
Actually, I guess it was web administration. So director of web just posted recently.
Okay.
So everything in between we're looking for. We just built up our own SOC. So we have 10 to 12 analysts down there now.
Okay.
Again, we were filling that role. So as we take those positions, we'll be able to move them up through the security ranks now because, okay. you know, we got five different directors with a lot of different, you know, openings potentially there.
Right.
So, again, you move the people from the SOC up, then you got to put new people in the SOC.
Right.
So it's a constant churn.
Nice. Interesting. Yeah, no kidding. I could see how that'd be. I mean, there's a... Would you say there's a negative employment rate?
Well, yeah, there's what's that phrase? There's a negative unemployment rate for security people in the Metro Detroit area.
Yeah. Yeah, and certainly we see that in Lansing as well.
I mean, you got to find yourself paying a premium to get people out there, or?
Well, that's the problem. You know, HR is, you know, a little tight-fisted sometimes, so we have to work extra hard. If we can get people on the campus, they love it. The building we're in, we moved into a year ago December.
Okay. Right,
so brand new, you know, $80 million, $100 million facility that is really geared towards IT. It's almost exclusively IT, either the infrastructure team or the software and programming group that is in that building. So, you know, it's a beautiful building. We're in a great campus. We're in the middle of the woods. Yeah.
Which for data center guys, that's typically probably a good thing.
Yeah, exactly.
No, seriously, like... I don't want, you know, most of the guys I know, like, I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to talk to anybody. Just let me work. Yeah. I just want to do my thing.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And, you know, we've got a great CTO at the company. He's really technologically focused. We've done some cool things over the years with technology. Like when I was on the network side, I deployed the Nexus 7Ks.
Sure.
And one of the first companies in the United States to deploy OTV.
Okay.
Right, to connect my data centers up. Again, we have two data centers in Lansing. I have dark fiber between them, right? I have over 100 gig of data, right, capacity, because I got DWDM solutions on it, right? So,
nice.
Own provider. We do a lot of really, really cool things with technology.
No kidding. I welcome you. We do a couple job fairs every year. Even though you're in Lansing, I welcome Jackson Eschlau. It's called the Pink Slip Party. We do them downtown Detroit.
Okay.
Twice a year. Next one's in September, maybe.
Yeah.
But we do monthly events in Ann Arbor and Detroit. I welcome anyone from Jackson Eschlau. Come on out, because there's great talent and there's great, you know, recruiting firms. And just...
Well, yeah, because, I mean, if we don't know about you, a lot of people looking for gigs don't know about you.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah.
So how do we look you up online?
So now you know.
Right.
It's easy. Knowing.
It's easy.
Half the battle. Yeah.
Jackson.com.
Just Jackson.com.
Jackson, just like the city.
Oh, you guys got lucky. Good
yeah,
that one.
Yeah, actually, we had to buy that.
Okay.
It took us a long time. We initially were JacksonNational.com for forever.
Still not a bad, you know.
Not bad. 5 or 6 years ago, we finally, whoever owned Jackson.com, we got them to sell it to us.
Nice.
So, yeah, we're Jackson.com.
Obviously, there's a career tab, and check it out there.
Absolutely. Right on the front page, homepage, careers go down, and all kinds of information. It'll take you into a Taleo page,
right?
But it has all our postings. And some of the other things is we're not just Lansing. We have large offices in Denver and Nashville as well.
Okay.
And then we have smaller offices in Florida, California, Chicago.
We don't care about those.
Okay.
We're just Detroit all
So night. We're Lansing. We have a great spot in Lansing.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. We promote the local town.
But, you know, it allows people to have some mobility if they choose to, want to stay with the company and go to different places.
No, absolutely. I welcome you guys also. We have a job board on itandthed.com.
Okay.
I'll give you a card after we get done.
Excellent.
Post them on there. It's free, obviously.
Sure.
That's, you know, we try to promote, like I said, the talent pool locally. So cool to know about you guys. Cool to know you're needing to hire so much that you got a booth at Converge, right? But that's great. So, hey.
Awesome.
Yeah, appreciate the time spent. Tom Lindemuth, Director of Security Engineering, Jackson National. Appreciate the time spent.
All right. Thanks a lot.
This is a special edition of the IT and the D Show from Converge at Cobo Hall in Detroit. And we'll be right back.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.
Welcome back. Thank you for hanging out. This is a special edition of the IT and the D Show. We are recording live here on the floor, Cobo Hall for Converged, one of the best conferences all year for security here in Metro Detroit. It's Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek. Find us online, itandthed.com. We are hanging out with the two, probably the coolest men I've ever met here at Converge today. In the last 15 minutes, Dave Glenn.
I'll give you 20 bucks
between,
later.
Between 4:50 and 5 p.m.
After 4
on day
o'clock.
One of Converge.
Dave Glenn.
Do you have anything on this? As long
on
as,
this
yeah,
shelf.
Yeah, right.
We got Dave Glenn in the house, as well as Jason Brown as a lab manager. Gentlemen, appreciate spending time with us.
Thank you.
What's up, guys? Thanks a ton.
So you guys are with CBI. You're one of the gold sponsors here. Your name's everywhere. We just attended one of your breakout sessions. I mean, I guess to start things off real quick, and then, you know, what is CBI? What do you guys do?
We're kind of a big deal. We have many leather bound books, and our apartment smells of rich mahogany. Sorry, I digress. CBISecure.com. So we're actually a platinum sponsor of Converge. We are the top tier sponsor of this. CBI is a risk management and cybersecurity company. We've been doing that. So we've been around for 26 years, 27 years incorporated for 26 years, March of 91, I think. And the cool thing about CBI is we are a Metro Detroit-based organization, and all we do is focus on cybersecurity. So the fact is that we help people protect their networks. We help people protect data. This is near and dear to our hearts. Wolf Gerlich, who runs our security programs practice at CBI, is one of the founders of Converge and runs this conference. We've got six practices at CBI. We do incident response and red team, so pen tests, risk assessment, stuff like that, technical vetting. Wolf runs a security programs practice, and that's more the controls, business part of that stuff. Sean Bertrand does the technical vetting, and that's the incident response and red team. If you've got a breach, we do breach response and stuff like that. That's in Sean's practice. We have an identity and access management practice. We have a managed services practice. The guy that runs our managed services practice was the CTO and founder of SecureWorks. His name is Mike Pearson, which is pretty awesome.
That's insane.
Yeah, crazy, huh?
Seriously.
Yeah, and you knew us when, Bob. I think we had six employees when you and I first
connected.
Years and years ago.
Years and years ago. We were both... Actually, you got back skinny, but that's when I was skinny, too.
83 years ago in IT years.
Right. But you guys, I mean, I guess one of the things that differentiates you is you're coming at this from a complete vendor-neutral perspective. You're not saying, hey, we are a blank shop. No, you are a security shop. And everything else, it's kind of like I'm building you a car. And don't worry about what's in the engine. Don't worry about the tires. Don't worry about those seats. We're gonna bring this whole thing together and deliver you an awesome car.
Man, I like that way better than the house analogy. I might have to steal that and
maybe pay. Can we get the mahogany in the car?
But one of the cool things you guys always did, and you guys have a pretty awesome apprenticeship program, where you're just plucking people out, not necessarily that have no knowledge, maybe minimal, but you're basically providing apprenticeships, kind of like our dads used to do back in the day when they were in tool and die shops, right? And give them apprenticeship programs and then kind of cutting them loose into the world of cybersecurity. I don't know, Jason, talk to me about that real quick.
I would classify it or define it as a talent acceleration program for sure. It's not an internship or anything like that. Yeah. Where we have multiple different levels to this, actually. We have our fast track program where individuals that might be at home as like a stay-at-home mom or dad, or maybe they're not out of college yet, or even sometimes in high school, they can do all of our content and get one of our professional red teamers, blue teamers, to be their mentor virtually, as well as our CBI, our other programs that we have that we bring people in for. So ultimately, at the end of the day, we are taking people who want to either reinvent themselves or found that they were in the wrong business to begin with, and we're taking them in and we're teaching them everything they need to know about IT security. If they're savvy, if they have a drive and they've got that, you know, I guess.
And by the time they're 70, they'll actually figure all of it out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm 70 now, and I'm just figuring it out.
Right.
So.
Man, you know, I love when you say that because you look great for 70.
So, see, you're always supposed to tell people you're 10 years older than you are. They go, wow, you look great.
That's right. You are almost 60 years old, right?
Yeah, close. We're getting there. So ultimately, we're a training facility. We're giving people both real-world experience and that college experience that, they just all cram together, I guess.
Sure.
You know?
And I go, it's another thing. We were talking offline, and you guys have a pretty, like, the interview process for, you know, especially someone like me that just went through it with God knows how many companies. Your interview process is a completely, I guess, unique, something that I haven't really heard of yet. I guess when you're onboarding or when you're interviewing a prospective engineer, I guess, talk to me about what you guys how you guys put them through the ringer.
Yeah, so. And real quick before you jump on that, Jason, one of the things that I wanna identify is that Jason's built programs for everybody up and down the stack. So we do tabletop exercises and interview processes and all these things for brand new people that we're testing the aptitude of what do we think you could do. We do that for organizations that they want to hire a VMware security guru. They want to hire a Cisco whatever. We've built programs up and down the board for that. So I just wanted to to chuck that in there?
Well, I mean, I can expand upon that. We have a lot of like Fortune 100, Fortune 500 companies, and they come to us and then they say, hey, well, we want to just hire your guy permanently. And we're saying, no way, we don't want to do that. We love it here, right? So what we're doing now for them is the interview process that we also have internally. We have these run books, if you will, and we say, okay, we're interviewing an IT ops guy. Okay, well, here's a run book. You've got 8 hours. Build out this particular network using this switching stack and this server cluster. You've got to build all these things, and however much they get done and how secure it is and everything when it's done is a gradable thing. So we have then our pen testers and some of our blue teamers look at it, and they grade it. They say, okay, these passwords are too weak, or, you know, they missed this, you know, these VLANs are crossed or whatever. And then we give that as a grade back to the employer that is actually interviewing them. So we're just really, you know, taking them to the mat and saying, okay, what is it you really know, right? So we do that, you know, internally and both externally. So I think we're charging, I think, $200 for that.
You're doing 8-hour interviews?
It's, you know, it's more of we lock them in a room, you yeah, know, yeah, and give them a
Red
a run
Bull
book
and some Doritos.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. Come on, when it's done.
You know, get as much done as you can. You know, yeah, this is your interview, you know, so...
What I think is really so remember when my brain just collapsed, but Cisco was doing the CCIE, the original CCIE lab, you know, lab testing. What we can do is we can offer that same experience across a variety of network platforms. So Jason actually put together the CTF for Converge, but he'll also do that for tabletop exercises for a company.
Well, and so for those who are listening, so CTF is capture the flag.
Yeah.
So in this particular instance, like, so what, like, what's the end? Like, what are, walk me through the capture the flag event here.
The one that we have here is unique in all the world. Nobody else does this. It's kind of a level playing field, so your novice IT ops individual can come in and play up against the professional red teamers. So typically, when you have a capture the flag, it's here we've got a vulnerable thing. And you have to know about vulnerabilities, you have to know about
right,
exploiting vulnerabilities, and that's really what the red teamers, those professional hackers, know how to do. So they always win. And then, you know, we have the people that want to be a professional hacker just getting, you know, tromped by these pros. And, you know, it's fun, but
it's kind of like the old pro wrestling squash matches with, like, you know, Big John Studd versus, you know, Barry
Iron Mike Sharp. Yeah.
Right. So what we did is we came up with a totally unique concept in saying that, you know, there's all of these different things. So we bring in a CTF that has 100 servers on it. We put 10 people in there. We supply all the hardware so they don't have to worry about their computer getting wrecked by some jerk in the back of the room who wants to do that. Right. So we're supplying everything. They come in and they might hit an FTP server, or they might hit a web server, or SQL server. There's so many different things to play with, and there's a lot of practical things. So there might be the forensics guy. Well, we've got forensics challenges in there. We've got some servers that are actually broken, and when you fix them, you get the flag. We've got a lot of different low-hanging fruit, and you name it. So, and it's just, it's getting bigger and bigger every time we do it.
Well, we were hearing a story about, you know, there was I call him a noob, and apparently pulled some card about 15 minutes in and said, you're allowed to remove anyone in the room, and went for the big dog in the back and said, get out.
Oh.
The guy went bananas.
Yeah, so we had a professional red teamer last year play this here at Converge, and he was just cleaning house. He was just wiping the floor with everybody in the match. So everybody immediately started targeting him. However, another individual...
Kind of like in a battle royal where everybody goes after the big show, right? I'm
right,
going breasting analogies.
Go figure here at Kobo.
Yeah, yeah.
Are we actually going to have some wrestling tomorrow? I mean...
Possibly.
Midgets?
No. None of those.
Sorry.
So, yeah, at the end of that story, one of the other individuals was just working on a very hard thing, which was a practical exercise. It wasn't a hack. He just had to figure out how to unzip a file that had been zipped like 20 times with different types of zip mechanisms, like bzip, zip, tar.
Okay.
And they were just all layered. He's sitting there trying to figure it out for maybe 20, 30 minutes, and then he got hit by the other guy with a card saying, hey, you're going to take one damage. And he was like, well, you're out of the game. You know, just he took this really amazing card and took him straight out of the game. And he couldn't have been – the guy, the red teamer, he was just furious. You know, it was all in good fun, but you could just tell that he was blindsided. And here's what really makes what we've done great. The following day, we had the championship round. The same thing we're doing this go-around. And two professional red teamers and one individual who works in a SOC and doesn't know very much about networking or anything Those were the three people at the end of the match.
That's awesome.
And the two red teamers ended up accidentally taking each other out because of the way the mechanisms and the, you know, it's hard to describe, but the mechanisms made it so it kind of they took each other out accidentally. So these two professional red teamers lost to a guy, and he won a laptop and some other stuff.
Wow, nice. But, like, I don't think, like, if you haven't done a capture the flag, I didn't realize how much work and how much stuff is involved with actually putting one of these things on.
Yeah. So one of our major to-dos and what really brought us to where we are today is me and a gentleman named David Radigan up in Lansing were working one night for this Converge CTF. We were bringing a CTF that we had worked on for a month called Get Off My Lawn. We had done it here before, where we have two infrastructures that have a team of operations and blue team people playing in those, and we supplied those, and then we had a group of red teamers. And those red teamers just sit there and hit those infrastructures as much as they can, and whoever the last man standing is wins, right? Well, my red teamers bailed on me for a wedding the night before Converge. So we, Dave and I sat down and we wrote down everything we don't like about Capture the Flags at conventions. I myself want to go see the talks. So, you know, I don't want to spend 40 hours working on a Capture the Flag. Or a treasure hunt or anything like that. So we figured out a good way or a mechanism to allow us to do a CTF that's really fun in 3 hours. It's super educational. There's so many different things people might not even have known existed anymore because they're old. We've done some futuristic things. We've done, you know, all kinds of different things where you might just see in your day-to-day life. So at the end of the day, you know, we've done something new, and it's awesome.
Very cool. No doubt. I don't know anything you guys want to get out. I love talking about this, but we're coming back tomorrow. We're gonna really dive deep into, I guess, what CBI does and some of the cool stories. And yeah. I want to talk about some of the weirdest stuff you guys have found when you guys have opened up companies' networks.
Yeah, that's fun. We'll talk about some social engineering stuff that we've accomplished and other things like that. I would say a couple of things just to kind of keep in mind about what Jason's talking about here. Jason's built some pretty amazing things, and we will run these exercises for organizations. We'll set up custom scenarios that look exactly like what they do in their infrastructure. Jason's playing with some things with some of the deception technologies that are out there, which we can dig into a little later too, or tomorrow a little too, but that allows you to really set up an infrastructure that looks just like your network and then go after it, really attack that. And
so it's kind of like Ocean's 11, building the vault you want to break into.
That's absolutely right. The other thing that I think Jason's team is really good at is training on specific tools and technologies. Really looking at some of the tools that malicious attackers use today, and showing you how to use it, showing blue teams how to use that. So the idea of red team, blue team. A red team mimics a malicious attacker. And a blue team is really that; those are corporate guys that defend corporate networks. So this idea of attack to defend, understanding how the malicious tools are leveraged, and then being able to understand what that traffic looks like, what mm-hmm. types of things stop them. That's what Jason's been really good at developing for organizations. So if you look across our solution portfolio and understand what it is that CBI does for customers, I think one of the greatest things that we do is understand your business, understand what's important to you, how to protect your most key data, and then find ways to show you how to be creative about looking at what the bad guys actually do. That's it.
That's awesome.
I know we'll talk tomorrow, but guys, I appreciate you having us on. Jason, anything else you want to say?
No.
We're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna be back with CBI tomorrow. I mean, in right after the break.
And the magic of podcasting.
Yeah, no doubt. This has been a special episode of the IT and the D Show on the Converge floor.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.
Welcome back. Thank you for continuing to hang out with us. It's been a fun couple days. We're here at Converge in beautiful Cobo Hall, Detroit, Michigan. It's Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek.
Still.
Find us online, itandthed.com. This has been, honestly, a phenomenal.
Pretty solid couple of days.
Some of these are very marketing focused.
You've gotten FaceTime with guys that would never return your phone calls in years.
In a million years. And then they find out I'm a sales guy and they go, uh-oh. Speaking of such people, we're hanging out with David Giard. He's a senior tech evangelist for Microsoft. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I thought I was Dave the Geek.
You guys can share. So, I mean, senior tech evangelist, that's a very broad brush. What does that human being do on a day-to-day basis?
It's the coolest job in the world, Bob. It's I get to learn cool new technologies and share them with other people. So I speak at conferences like this one, like Converge. I work with startups. I work with students. I write. I screencast. Basically, I play with toys all day.
Nice. So, I mean, cool new technologies. Give me some examples.
A lot of it is around cloud computing. So okay. Microsoft has the Azure stack. It's
sure.
Our cloud computing platform. And that's something new coming out in that every month. Literally every month, something new is coming out. Lots coming out this week because build's going on.
Right, right. So has anyone made sense of what the cloud is and where the heck it is?
The cloud, okay.
It's someone else's computer.
Yeah,
it's
someone else's
computer.
Wait for him to say that.
So the cloud is the reason I think you're asking that question is it's become a marketing term, right?
Yeah.
The sales guys have messed it up.
Is it? Well, no, because when I was in 98, I was selling shared hosting and virtual private servers.
Were you calling it the cloud?
No.
Okay. Some people are calling that the cloud.
But well, there was a Visio diagram that had a cloud on it.
It had a cloud
whenever
on
we
it.
Wrote
it wasn't the cloud.
Whenever we wrote a network diagram, the cloud was the public internet.
Yeah.
Right.
That was where, you know, and then you draw a lightning bolt to the public internet from my server farm. Then all of a sudden cloud came out. We're like, wait, no, that was my public internet. Where does this go?
The way I distinguish cloud computing is it's a way, it's basically other people's computer, it's shared hosting somewhere else by a third party like Microsoft, but done so in a highly scalable, highly reliable way.
Sure.
Which some of the older, like GoDaddy, for example, nothing wrong with that. It's, you can host your website there. It's awesome. But this auto-scaling where if demand goes up, you want to be able to scale out really rapidly, that's where real cloud computing platform. That's my definition of cloud.
Well, yeah, I mean, back in the day, it was, you know, a virtual private server. That was guys today that were in IT security would scream bloody murder and have blood coming out of their ears if they saw how those things were insecure, right? So, I mean, yeah, obviously the way things are going today. So, I mean, well, so what else? What was your?
You just gave a keynote,
right?
I did.
Converge. So, I mean, what was that about? Talk us through it.
I talked about the technical community. It was not a technical talk, but it was just about how engaging people in this community helped me and helped my career, and hopefully, maybe I inspired some people to help their career as well.
I think we know a little bit about that.
Just a little bit. But what I've learned more than anything at this show is don't ever be mean or rude. Or an asshole to anybody.
No.
Because at one point or another, you're going to switch business cards, because everyone in IT pretty much does, and then you're going to run into them again, and you're going to go, hey, buddy.
I remember you.
Remember? You know, and then that's the thing, especially in this town. I guess talk to me about that. In this town, it's such a small, family-ish community, especially in IT.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike any other city I've kind of been around, like almost everybody knows everyone, and everyone bumps into someone again, and no one forgets. Everyone remembers that, you know, remember 10 years ago when you blah, 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 you know.
Yeah, I mean, from an engagement standpoint, you ran My Gang.
Yeah, the My Gang was kind of sort of an acronym for the Great Lakes Area .NET user group. That was a user group that I ran for a couple of years, and I saw it during its growth phase. It went from like 30 people a month up to 90-some people a month, and I've since moved away. I've moved to Chicago, but I had a chance to go back in January to that user group that I used to run, and this is one of the things I'm most proud of. That group is still going strong.
Yeah. Nice.
They still had 100 people in the meeting. They had a speaker came over from the UK, John Skeet, who is geek famous. He's the number one point guy on Stack Overflow. So
nice.
They had a big name speaker there. The food's still great. We're famous for our food.
Well, and they're running out of the Microsoft office downtown now, I believe.
Well, the Microsoft office has not yet moved downtown.
Oh, okay.
I'm not really. I don't know all the details of that. I know it's been announced, but I live in Chicago, so I
gotcha.
I know they're moving. They're closing the Southfield. I think they're closing that. I know they're opening an office downtown.
Yeah.
And I don't know what month that'll happen.
I thought from what Mike is saying they'd already moved, but
yeah. I don't think so. I don't know anything.
Head Mike.
Right.
They had not moved in January. In January, it was still in Southfield.
Gotcha. So I guess that's a good question then. So how did running that help you in your career? I mean, how, like?
Oh yeah, that was just part of my evolution of connecting with people in the community, and that connection made me smarter, not because partly because I was gaining knowledge from these people, but partly because I was gaining knowledge about who knew what. So if I knew if somebody had a really tough security question, I knew, Wolfgang Gerlich, he's a smart guy, I can call him and ask this question. Somebody had a SharePoint question, I knew who to call. If they had a content management or a Linux question, these are things that I can't keep all that stuff in my head. You know, and building up that network was huge.
You don't have to know everything. You just have to know who to call.
And it took me a while to learn that. Yeah. It sounds obvious, right?
The must call someone else certification.
Yeah, the MCSE,
I had to throw that out there. Sorry. Microsoft certified solitaire expert. You know, like, take your pick, right?
Well, that I did have in my head. I'm really, really good at that.
Nice.
I was a solitaire MVP.
What was the game that they just came out, the article just came out that it was like a mistake? Like, was it Minesweeper? It was Minesweeper.
Yeah.
It was something like to kill time. The guy was at downtime.
Yeah.
It become, like, ubiquitous with Microsoft, you know.
It had taught you how to use a mouse.
Right.
That's how I justified it to my boss.
Well, no, that's actually
I'm practicing my mouse skills.
It was Solitaire and Minesweeper were basic. Well, I mean, Minesweeper was like a side diversion the guy did. But, yeah, I mean, those came with Windows 3.0, you know, to teach you how to use a mouse. That's what they were really for.
I miss Pinball.
Oh, I remember that.
Who got rid of that?
It might still be around. You could probably download it somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure you could download it, but it doesn't come with.
I'm sure it's buried somewhere.
Right.
It has to be.
Right.
Find some Vulcan death grip finger combination, it'll pop up. So I guess, what's next for you then?
Next here, let's see. I'm going to see my mom. Because I'm from Detroit. You know, I haven't seen you in a long time, but I lived here for a long time, and she's here. And then I'm flying to Seattle. We've got a hackathon out there, internal Microsoft thing. And then I'm flying to Transylvania.
Really?
Of course. I'm going to Cluj-Napoca.
Like business or personal?
I'm going to speak at a conference, the IT camp in Romania.
You accepted it because it's Transylvania.
This is my fourth year in a row. I am speaking at this conference. It is an amazing conference.
Transylvania 65,000 is your entrance music.
I love this conference. I love Transylvania. It's a gorgeous countryside.
Really?
Best, finest spices part of Romania, rolling hills. The people there are terrific. They treat us like kings when we get there. Actually, the truth, like, counts.
Can you make vampire jokes, or is that just so, like, really, roll eyes?
They're allowed to, but we're not.
All right.
It gets old.
Or if you, like, you know, wrap yourself in toilet paper and come on, wrong, you know,
the wrong
mummy.
Genre. Yeah.
I'm doing that, then I go to New York City. There's an Angular NYC is a group. They're having their five-year anniversary. I get to speak at that, and I'm flying there to Nashville for the Music City Code Conference.
Okay.
I'll do three talks there. I fly home, and then 2 days later, I fly to Stockholm for a conference in Stockholm, the DevSum Conference.
So you're in the air a lot, basically.
I'm doing a lot of traveling this month. I got five weeks. I've got about four nights at home.
Yeesh.
Wow.
But it's exciting. It's fun places to go.
It's been fun watching, you know, and learning about the involvement of Microsoft as, you know, back in the day, it wasn't the most liked company in the IT space.
True.
And I think they took a turn for the better where now they're embracing open source.
Yeah.
Now they're doing, you know, they're kind of changing with what the customers are asking for and needing, right? Giving, you know, free OS. I mean, what's your take on, the kind of the shift in how Microsoft's not even perceived, but where they're going?
Yeah, that's I think a reaction to where the market is going. I think the days when you could just say, "Hey, we're this vendor, use us and buy our operating system and install all our software and use all of our tooling."
So like Apple,
that just doesn't make any sense.
Yes.
Yeah, well, Apple that works pretty well for consumers, and Apple's really strong on consumers, so that works for them. Enterprises, that's hard to pull that off because enterprises they're evolving, they're buying other companies, they're trying to integrate things, and if you're going to tell them, you know what, the system you have over here, you need to scrap it and rewrite it, that's not a really compelling story. And so I think a lot of it is just in response to that, just the practicality of it, that this is the world that we live in right now. And I think a lot of it also is driven by people like Scott Guthrie and Satya Nadella who have their influence in Microsoft has grown a lot, and the company's changed for the better because of that. Satya became CEO about the same time I joined Microsoft. The company's changed a lot in that time period. But for some reason, he gets more credit than I do. I don't understand this at all. Maybe this podcast will change.
Right. We'll send it over to him.
Yeah, nice. So I guess, if somebody's looking to, to get more involved and to do more of that engagement, like what would you recommend for them?
Oh, I'd start with user group. Find your local user groups, especially a city like Detroit, which is so strong and has a strong tech community. You were kind of joking about the negative aspects that you might say something mean to somebody and they'd come back and
might
come back. But there's a lot of positives to that. It's a really strong technical community where you can just show up at user groups and just meet people. And I say that it sounds obvious, but there's a lot of shy people in this business.
No.
So people that come and they'll eat the pizza and they'll sit in the back and they'll listen to the talk and then they'll go home. And if you do that, if you're missing a lot. And so I would encourage people not only to show up at things like Converge Detroit, this conference here, show up at local user groups. And you can find those on meetup.com or just search in the web for them. Yep. And just introduce yourself. Meet one person. Talk to the organizer. Just say hi. Make that your goal. So even if you're really shy, just make that goal. Meet one person. Yeah. Maybe the next month, meet another person. Find a way that you can get involved. Find a way that you can volunteer. They're always looking for somebody to order the food or to set up the room beforehand. Or just, there's 1,000 little tasks that have to do with a conference or a user group that people don't even know about.
Yeah.
And there's always work to be done. Just volunteer. It's a great way to build your network, to connect with people and maybe even learn from them.
Well, I mean, that's why we have our events in bars, because a drink tends to help some of that anxiety.
Yeah, your events, you have like the pink slip party?
Yeah, we still do that. We do those twice a year, in March and September, and then the regular monthly events, we do two of those every month. Yeah,
The IT and the D events.
Yep.
Okay, all right. I didn't get a chance to go when I lived in Detroit. But now you're actually in different parts of the city now.
Yeah, we're branching. It's getting crazy. We're getting ready to do stuff in Flint and
awesome.
A couple of it's gotten a little weird.
All right, bring your own water. Was that insensitive?
Too soon.
Is it really though? It's been quite some time.
Yeah,
true. All right, well, David, thanks for joining us. Anything else you want to get out?
Oh my gosh. Can I talk about my show?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I have a show. It's on Channel 9. It's called Technology and Friends.
Okay.
And I've been running this show for, I think about 8 years now. I'm coming up on episode 500. I expect to be every Monday.
What's Channel 9?
Channel9.msdn.com is Microsoft's version of YouTube.
Got it.
And all the content tends to be very technical. There's, for example, the Build conference is going on right now, and all the sessions from Build are being broadcast on Channel 9. Some of them live, some of them recorded. And then we have shows that, such as I have a show there. Wolfgang Gerlich has a show on Channel 9.
Okay.
That he publishes called Stuck in Traffic. I encourage you to put that out as well.
The intro, I just pictured going, technology, and friends!
No, nice, yeah.
I'll send you a link. You can share it with
me. Perfect. I'd love to watch. Do you just look for Channel 9, Technology and Friends on Google and it'll pop up?
It should pop up. It's a, I don't know what Google is, but it should be.
Yahoo then.
it's channel9.msdn.com/blogs/technology and friends. That's a long URL,
yeah,
I'll send you a link.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, good deal. We'll look for your show. Appreciate spending time with us.
Thank you.
This is David Girard, the Senior Tech Evangelist for Microsoft. And I think we're going to wrap up. This has been an awesome 2 days here at Converge. Thank you to Wolf and the entire staff. Everyone was very accommodating. Had some awesome talks and interviews. And this has been the IT and the D Show here at Converge. And do us a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers.